Jesus has come down from a mountain, and he is he's being followed by multitudes, and a leprous man is in the path, and he says to Jesus, if you will, you can make me clean. He worshipped him and said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. That's just how easy it is for Jesus to heal, to make a difference, to take away the problem. And, you know, we talk about Jesus and we've never seen him. We talk about Jesus. We've never really heard his voice. But he said on one occasion, it's better to believe having not seen than it is to believe having seen. There's something about faith that's very important in the kingdom of God. But nevertheless, when he was physically touching people in his earthly ministry, naturally, they did believe. They saw him raise the dead. They saw him open blinded eyes. They saw him. But you know what? I have seen him do that too. I've seen him do that too. Amen. But we're so crowded with skeptical people and so many doubts and so many words trying to explain away the miracles of God in our intelligent world today that it's easy to listen to the wrong voices and find yourself caught up in a world of being human and finding yourself reasoning like everybody else does. But we need to shake ourselves from that sometimes and remember, hey, we're people of faith. We're people of faith. Amen. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Verse 9, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said unto him, them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now, what was it that was different about this man and what he said than a lot of the others? Amen. There's something about that word, doeth. Everybody say, doeth. Amen. He said, I'm a man who have people under my authority. And he's saying to Jesus, you don't have to go. In so many words, you have the authority to speak the word. And things are subject to you just as things are subject to me. I can say, go and do this and so, and it'll get done. And you have that kind of power. In so many words, he's relating what happens between his position being an authority over others, that when he speaks, they do things. And he's saying, Jesus, you don't have to come personally. You can say the word and cause it to be done because you have that kind of authority. And when Jesus heard this, he heard him say that you can say come, or you can say do this, and he doeth it, you know, like I say to my servants. When he heard this, he said, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And here's the part that can be real confusing if you will allow yourself to be confused. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When Jesus said, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. So, I read all of that to substantiate something I want to say right now. Some of us, many of us are aware of this. Some of us will be totally shocked because every time I teach on the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, God's kingdom, I always, almost every time, get questions in email. At some point, somebody gets confused. They have a lot of questions because there's so much teaching about the future coming kingdom and all the things that we must go through in order for this to take place and that to take place. I want to tell you something else. There are a lot of people studying and studying and studying and studying. When we study anything other than the Bible, it can be good, but it also can be distracting. Because every teacher who sets himself up as a Bible authority on the Word of God has a viewpoint, an interpretation, a way to look at things that may or may not be of God. And it pays to be in tune with God for yourself. Now, some of us can read books that are written by people who are very intelligent, and we can sort out the truth from that which is an error. There are others, because words are so fitly put together, and because the teacher has so much good ability and knowledge of history and so forth, will swallow hook, line, and sinker everything that's written in the book. And that's why there are so many great religious bodies today with so many teachings that are not according to the Word of God that you can just about believe anything you want to believe and find a religious body somewhere that will take you in because that's the way they believe it. Hallelujah. And so I'm not here tonight to represent post-tribulation, mid-trib, any kind of trib. Other than in the world, you have tribulation. And I will say to all of my brothers and sisters who are hung up in the debate on does Jesus come before the trib, in the midst of the trib, or after the trib, or did He already come before any of the tribs? I will say to all of you that it's very possible that the entire debate over the tribulation period is masterminded by a spirit of evil that has nothing to do with the kingdom of God, other than having been cast out and wanting to take some with Him. Because God is not the author of confusion. And I don't care what position you hold on the tribulation subject, if it is a position that's causing you to be at odds with your brothers and sisters, if it's causing you to rise with anger when somebody else believes it a different way, if it's something that you believe, whether it's post-trib, mid-trib, pre-trib, or any kind of trib, if your position, and if you're an apostolic baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, if you're basing everything you do on something that you understand and interpret concerning the tribulation period and when the kingdom will be ushered in, amen. And if somebody doesn't see it your way and you have anger in your heart and are at aught against your brother or sister over this, it's not going to really matter what you believe because you're not going to make it. That's right. Hallelujah. So you can believe anything you want to, post, pre, or mib, you're not going to make it. The best thing that we can do is take the attitude that they've got to see it my way and crush that and let it be crucified with Christ. And let's go back to the Word of God. Where is this kingdom of God? Well, it's explained in the Word of God. Jesus said, as was mentioned a while ago, in Matthew the 10th chapter, amen, Matthew the 10th chapter, hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah, I believe it's the 10th chapter, in what, 10:7. And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now that sort of makes you think, because he's speaking this 2,000 years ago and talking to the people, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What that means is, it's here right now. It's not something that you need to speculate and get all divided against your brothers and sisters over when is it going to happen. Jesus is teaching this lesson. Amen. Amen. And if the kingdom of heaven is here right now on the earth, then there are a whole lot of teachings that need to be adjusted concerning the kingdom of heaven and when we're going to rule and reign with Him and how much authority we have here and now. And who it is that's backing this, and who is the king who we are serving. And is there something being missed by many who are looking forward to the day when we rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years? Or is there something missing by those who are believing it happened a long time ago, and here we are somewhere in between? Well, there is something missing in a lot of situations, and that's the true Word of God.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Hallelujah. I'm not here with a new interpretation tonight. I just like to take the Bible as it is and read it without the influence of people who've been reading too many books. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink. He said the kingdom of heaven is within you. He said the kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Ghost. Everybody say, in the Holy Ghost.
In the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody needs the Holy Ghost. And when we have the Holy Ghost, we have entered into the kingdom of heaven. Now there is a heaven waiting for the people of God that we will abide in forever, having passed from this veil of tears and having shed forth this mortality. And we will be changed into something beyond anything we've ever known. And we will be with our Lord forever. But between here and there, we are made to sit together with Him in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. And that brings a little more light into the conversation Jesus was having. That I was reading after he healed the servant of the centurion. Amen. When he said those words that some will sit down with Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, and the children of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hallelujah. There is a possibility to be able to be called out to be a child of God and to be God's kingdom heir and to sit in heavenly places. Now, God's not going to cast anybody out of heaven. He's done all the casting out there that's ever going to be done. If you go to heaven, you're going to be there forever. Amen. If you go to heaven, you're going to be there forever. But wouldn't it be a shame to sit in the kingdom of heaven, to enjoy the fellowship of the people, the children of the kingdom, in the kingdom that is at hand, and enjoy the singing and the testimonies, and the being able to take authority over evil spirits, and be able to say things in the name of Jesus, and have the backing of Jesus in this kingdom that we now abide in? Wouldn't it be awful to have partaken of that and end up in outer darkness? But many, according to Jesus, will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Have we not cast out devils? I'm telling you, if anybody has ever cast out a devil, they had to have something going with God, because you don't cast out devils with the power of devils. Amen. If you've ever had the experience of casting out a devil, then you should be able to go forward from where you are and go to heaven and live forever with Jesus. It would be awful to have that kind of relationship with God to where you can cast out devils and speak in tongues and prophesy and have all this going for you and end up lost. But it can happen. It can happen. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is not made up of anybody except the ones who hear and do. Hear and do. Amen. I'm teaching a Bible lesson. You see, when I was a music teacher, because I was able to hear and do, I found myself in situations where I was called on to teach professors who were over college music departments, who had had years of training in music and music theory. But they could hear, but many times they could not do. There is a hearing and doing involved that many people who are reading the great books are missing. There is a seeing and perceiving that needs to be accomplished. Amen. There's an awareness that something's going on, but something going on needs to enter into your awareness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, some of these teachers had studied under great teachers that taught them, but they were amazed. Because when I would sit down and play, like I play here in church, I mean, I've been doing this for years, you take it for granted, but and I'm not bragging on myself, but those easy things I do on the keyboard and the other musical instruments, they didn't come just by waking up one day and say, I want to learn to do this, and then suddenly I started doing it.
Yes, sir. Come on now. Come on.
Amen. And also, they didn't come by all the stuff that my music teacher taught me. In fact, I was so unteachable that my music teacher quit me. I have a lot of people who ask me, who taught you to do all of this? And I taught patience to my music teachers. But there was something that took place in my life at a young age. I was exposed to people who were not just hearing, but they were doing. And they may not have been doing everything just right, but they were trying. My mother was playing the accordion. I was going to church. People were playing the piano. They might have been hitting keys not exactly right. I know one lady named Cleta Hastings played with her fingers upside down. I mean, she could play the piano. She learned it wrong, but she was trying. She played with her hands like this, and it sounded about as funny as it looked, but she was trying. And I was raised at a young age watching my dad play the guitar. And my grandpa play the harmonica. And hearing people get up and sing and praise God and clap their hands and saying, what a mighty God we serve, from real small childhood up. And there's something about being exposed to this. You start having ears to hear at an early age. And so I could hear these sounds. By the time I was like 6 years old, I could hear certain things because even though many things had been done wrong, an attempt to do something was there in the churches. And from infancy till 6 and 7 years old, that's all I knew. Go to church, singing, playing music, praising God, singing, playing music, praising God. My first little banjo was about 5 years of age. A little small banjo, and I was learning to play chords, and I could hear the changes. People were amazed. So in growing up, that ability to hear and then try to take what you hear and make it work, even though I didn't quite understand everything about it, paid off in some areas. Later I found that I had learned a lot of things wrong. But even if you learn it wrong, if you've got a teachable spirit and a willingness to do whatever it takes to get it right, the fact that you were doing something all that time makes it possible to skip a whole lot of years of training and straighten it out and adjust it and all of a sudden be doing it right. Hallelujah. So I went to college. When I went to college, I had been learning many things on my own for years. But when I was approached by the head of the music department about what I knew and was tested, they said, well, there's so many gaps that need to be filled in that you're going to have to go back to basics. And in college at Arkansas State University, Even though I had been playing in general conferences, I was an organist for the Arkansas State College basketball team. I had been teaching music and making my living at it. They made me go back to book number one, teaching little fingers to play. In college. Here I am, a music major on a music scholarship, teaching little fingers to play. Now, I had played before thousands of people. I'd even been on record and produced record albums. And produced about 100 of them. And had all these artists going around across the United States saying, our piano player and our bass player and our brass musician and all the people playing all those instruments and their background voices is Ren Rutledge. And this is when I was young. And you talk about a feeling of intimidation. When the college professor says, you're going to have to go back to teaching little fingers to play. Here we go up a row to a birthday party. And sitting there with that music teacher in that college environment, I knew the song by memory because I'd probably taught 1,000 kids to play it. And he took a little ball and stuck it under my hand. And he said, you see that? I said, what? He said, you're not curving your fingers right. So he put this little ball under my hand, made me curve my fingers. He said, now leave your fingers in that position. And he took the ball out. He said, now play it with your fingers in that position. I had to relearn because I'd been playing like this. I never had been taught that before. So I had to relearn how to hold my fingers. Here we, and you talk about difficult. Here we go. Here we go up a road to a birthday party. It was about 4 pages into the book. I had to go back 2 or 3 pages and just stick with 1 or 2 notes. Da, 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 da. He said, you're doing better now. You're doing better now. Thank you. Same teacher later, just a short time later, said, now that I've taken time to teach you some basic things, would you teach me some of the stuff that you know how to do? Because I can't do that stuff. Now, what's going on here? I'm talking about a principle in the music field that's also applicable to the Word of God. Hallelujah. Now, here around us, there are people that know nothing. They haven't really been exposed to the Word of God. But then amongst us, there are some of us that's been around it quite a while. Amen? Amen? And so we're able to tell the truth. We're able to tell people, this is how it's done. This is how you have church. This is how you're able to get your blessing. This is the kingdom of God. I'm part of it. You can be part of it too. But it's quite possible that while we think we know so much, and we do know a lot, that there are some basic things that need to be brought back into our lives about the kingdom of God that we're a part of. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody just recently said to me, no wonder you're a preacher. You've been raised in a preacher's home and you know what it takes and you had all these open doors. I'm telling you, one of the worst things that ever happened to me was, and I'm not against my raising, I loved my raising, but the fact that I was raised in a preacher's home, I was exposed to all the arguments and all the debates and all the interpretations of organizations versus other organizations. And at an early age, I was going and hearing the controversies over whether to use wine or grape juice in communion service. And I was, at a small age, hearing preachers who would drink the grape juice saying those people that use wine are going to hell. And I hear the ones that use wine saying the grape juicers are going to burn in hell. I'm going to say something to you brothers and sisters out there, whether you use grape juice or wine, if you don't love your brothers and sisters, you ain't going to go to heaven. Let's go back to here we go. All this great sound we're getting about the millennial reign and the 1,000 years and the mark of the beast and all these great things that's going to happen on the earth when we all finally get to rule and reign someday in the kingdom of God. Come over here and let me teach you a lesson. Let's put a little ball under your hand. Let's call it the world. And let's go back to what Jesus is saying. You need to be hearers and doers. Amen. He didn't leave us out here alone to learn these lessons. He gave us His Word. It's all written in the book. But sometimes we want to learn so many things without referring to the book. And we want to see what they think about it. What they think about it. How they do it. How this other one sees it. How they see it. And it's so clear that even a real simple child can read it and just see real easy. The kingdom is now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The kingdom of heaven is a place where people can sit down and have fellowship in the kingdom of heaven and end up cast out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's the kingdom we're dwelling in now. But the kingdom of heaven, once we've left this life, and we abide with Him forever in that which He has prepared for those of us who endure to the end. There shall we ever be with Him. Hallelujah. And there's no more coming back to earth to rule and reign. The elements shall melt with fervent heat is still in the Word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away. Well, I thought, how can heaven pass away? I'm talking about something that a lot of people are missing. Amen. This that we know about and enjoy so much that's here at hand now, the way we've known it, the way we see it, is a preparation place for something that's eternal. And when we put this behind, it's going to be gone forever. I'm not going to heaven and grabbing the next shuttle bus to come back and rule over somebody that don't know how to live for God, that died, lost, but maybe had a little touch of God, and so they need me to teach them in 1,000 years how they can get their act together too. I'm telling you, if you want to get saved, do it now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do it now. I'm not going to heaven and coming back. I'm in heaven now, and I'm going from here to a greater heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm in the kingdom of heaven now, and I'm preparing for a great homecoming. We're here now. Church is not just a place to assemble. It's the city of the great, great King. It's the city of God. It's the place called the New Jerusalem. Amen. We're part of that. We're part of the New Jerusalem, a holy city coming down out of heaven from God. If you're going to sit around and gaze at the stars every night and wait for that holy city to appear in the sky, and every time a satellite goes by, you think you've seen it, you're missing something. Hallelujah. You're missing something. The holy city descended on the people in an upper room, in old Jerusalem. But they were in an upper room. And the holy city, New Jerusalem, came inside of them. Hallelujah. And they came outside of that building and went through the streets of New Jerusalem, of the old Jerusalem, inviting people to come into the New Jerusalem. And in the same day, 3,000 souls left old Jerusalem, went to New Jerusalem, and yet stayed in old Jerusalem, but they enjoyed the New Jerusalem while they were in old Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when I say when I go to church, I go to the city of God, the New Jerusalem, I'm not talking physical location. I'm talking about spiritual application, where I've heard the Word and I'm doing something today. Hallelujah. I'm doing something today. I'm abiding in the city of the great King. Now, I've already crossed theology with several people who listen to me. And yet, you haven't heard anything yet. This is, here we go, up a row to a birthday party. Hallelujah. Because when I teach these lessons, I have people come back to me later and say, you know, you need to do more reading. You need to study because there's some things left out in your understanding. You know what? You know who opens my understanding? Not Martin Luther. Hallelujah. Not the cigar-smoking preachers of the 18th century. 19th century. Amen. Not the Baptist preacher in 1850 who taught us all about how to interpret end-time prophecies and how to figure it all out when Jesus is coming and what all is going to happen and the 7 years and how to figure all that out and great charts and all these Bible colleges who taught all this stuff. My understanding was not opened by any of that. In fact, at an early age, I watched a man stand up with one of Larkin's malarkey charts and teach some things that I knew was not according to the Word of God, and I was just a 12-year-old kid. And this great college educator up there said, and this is what is to be believed and what we as apostolics need to hold dear. You see this chart. Mr. Larkin gave us this interpretation back in the mid-1800s, and he understood it, and now we need to embrace this. No, look, we need to go back to Jesus and His apostles and let everything else be considered a lie. Hallelujah. I could put an ad in the newspaper tomorrow that we're going to teach on the Larkin charts and bring you up to date in prophecy, and let you know where God has us now. And we're going to use the newspapers and the news that's out and tell you what's going on in the Middle East and how it applies to our day and what you can expect in the next few days. We would have so many people come here that we would not have room for us to all sit here. But over and over, week after week, we appear before thousands telling them the simple truth. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. People don't want to hear that. Tell us something that makes us interesting, you know. Tell us something that makes us sit on the edge of our seat. I'm not blaspheming. Now, if I would say right now, I believe that Jesus is coming in the middle of the tribulation period. Suddenly I would have a lot of friends I don't even know about. They would come rushing. They would start emailing me and say, praise God, brother, I'm glad to know that you see it right. Amen. We need to stand together for the cause of this being known. Because those other tribbers are missing it and they're not going to make it. Hallelujah. Or if I would say today that you've got to have wine and communion in order to make it, there would be a lot of people that would suddenly become my friends, and there'd be others that would turn against me. Amen. Amen. But the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and Jesus is wanting somebody not just to hear, but to do. He had some disciples following him at one point. He had several people that were following him, and he gave them some instructions. He said, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. But go ye rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was instructing them to go to people that were considered to be the promised seed. They were considered to be the children of the kingdom, the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And there are people today, when you talk about Israel, they will fight you if you say anything other than the fact that Israel is a holy people of God. But these people, even during Jesus' early ministry, in His earthly ministry, were being instructed to go and preach to the lost ones, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So not every Israelite is a child of God. And then there came a time when Jesus broke down all the middle wall of partition between Jews and Gentiles and counted all under sin, and all these people who are teaching because of all their learning and all the books, that God is going to finish His work with the Gentiles and go back to Israel, you've been reading the wrong literature. Come back to the Bible. He's not going to do it. He already did it at Calvary. He counted all under sin. In one act of redemption, Jesus left Israel, made hope for the Gentiles, brought the Gentiles to the cross, and said to Israel, you got to come this way too if you expect to make it into my kingdom. Hallelujah! He's not just working with us right now and fixing to cut us off. Look, you don't have to worry, run in fear because you're living for God today. If you've been saved, you're not a Gentile. You was, but you got delivered from it. Hallelujah! And you're not a Jew, but yet you are. If you can understand how you're grafted in to something beyond Judaism. It goes all the way back to Abraham and even all the way back to God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We have been made partakers of the heavenly gift through Jesus Christ. And now we can sit down in the kingdom of heaven with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And call them our lineage. We are part of that lineage. Amen. Through Jesus Christ. Everything to Jesus Christ brought us one who would be father of us all. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My Jesus is not my great, 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 great grandpa. My Jesus is my heavenly Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The kingdom I'm looking forward to someday was delivered 2,000 years ago in one great act of God Almighty fulfilling His promise when He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you comfortless. I will send you the Holy Ghost. And they were not left comfortless, and we are not left comfortless. Amen. That church of the New Jerusalem in the upper room in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago is the same church that we're part of today. Hallelujah. And we're not left comfortless. The Holy Ghost, the holy city of God is with us. Amen. But go ye to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Hallelujah. Let's thank the Lord right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Bible scholar, the best thing you can do if you really want to get a good education in the kingdom of God is throw away all your books and go back to the Bible. Go back to the Word of God and get on your knees and let God open your understanding. Let God open your understanding. Hallelujah. Those early disciples did not have armloads of Bible school books when they went out and converted thousands of people to this wonderful power of God. But they did have understanding. And they were willing to be doers and not just hearers. It was in the Word of God. It's been here all the time. It's a matter of taking it and looking at it and receiving it and forget about what they're saying over there and go on. Do it. Go on. Go on. But what will my brothers and sisters think of me? Same thing they're going to think of everybody else that doesn't see it the way they see it. They're not your brothers and sisters unless they're able to love you. Amen. Freely you have received, freely give. Then he said, don't provide gold or silver or brass for your purses. He's teaching some real lessons here. Now don't take this as that, you know, don't get radical now and say anything that's gold is a sin. Silver is a sin. Brass is a sin. Money is a sin. No, it's not saying that. Amen. But it's saying that let God provide for you. Depend on God. And he says, and don't take script for your journey. In other words, hey, you don't have to even have anything written down. I'm going to be with you and I know what to do. Hallelujah. Don't take gold, silver, brass in your purses, no script for your journeys, or two coats, neither shoes or staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. In other words, I'm going to take care of you out here. In the whatsoever city you, or town you shall enter, inquire, who is worthy? And there abide till you go thence. And when you come to a house, salute it. If the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. If it not be worthy, let your peace return to you. Amen. So how do we know when a house is worthy or not? Well, if they receive us, they're worthy. If they don't, they're not. Hallelujah. It's just a matter of, are we welcome or are we not? Amen. Here we go up a row to a birthday party. Amen. Whosoever shall not receive you. Now hear your words. When you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. That's just simply saying, hey, you're not responsible. You did your part. Keep going. There's a lot more places where you will be received. Amen. Verily I say unto you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. What city? What city? The one that wouldn't receive. Hallelujah. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils. They will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Then he says in verse 19, but when they deliver you up, take no thought. Everybody say, take no thought. So what's with all this planning so much? How are we going to make this revival happen? What's with all this strategy, seminars? I'm not against seminars, but what are they trying to accomplish as people are spending thousands upon thousands of dollars traveling across the country, going to seminar after seminar, trying to learn how to have a move of God? Right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And maybe we can learn some things from them, but I believe some of them can learn some things from us too. I'm still playing by ear, even though I have all this music knowledge. You don't see me over there trying to find my place in the music when I'm playing. I went to school. I learned it right. But that didn't stop me from doing it the way I like it. And that didn't stop the teachers that taught me wanting to learn what I do too. It's just that they wanted to make sure that if I was going to be teaching in schools and things, that I did it according to what everybody else is doing. There are certain standards. And so all teaching is something that's come together over many years of evolution in music. And evolution is not a bad word if it's used in the right instance. And so music is an evolutionary thing. So over a period of years, music has come to be what it is. It's not the invention of one person. It's many things through many centuries that have been going on. And all the musical instruments and all the things that we know in music have been developed and have been changed and have been and even our harmony structures. And when we got all these keys on the piano, there was a time when there were many, many more keys on keyboards before there was a piano. There were other instruments, and there were so many notes, and so there had to be what you call a bringing together of something that would make sense for future generations. And I could go into music theory and music history and just bore the socks off of you tonight. But I learned all this in order to go forward and be able to teach school. But you don't see me over there trying to consult my big, large volumes of books when I sit down to play What a Mighty God We Serve. I don't get my glasses up real close to a book and wonder, now do I use pianissimo or fortissimo right here, or double fortissimo, or is there a crescendo or diminuendo at this passage? And where is the fermata? No. Fermata. But what you see is, I go back to the way it was before they corrected me. I go back to when I was able to hear and do. Oh yeah, I went to school, but I didn't let it hinder my playing. Hallelujah. I learned to do it right, but I didn't let it stop me being able to do it the way I like to do it. Amen. I hear the people teaching these lessons, and I hear them, and it sounds interesting. Some of it might be true, but you ain't going to stop me from believing that I'm in the kingdom of heaven now, ruling and reigning now, in the midst of this 1,000 years of reign with my Jesus right now, having already experienced the coming of the heavens, coming down upon me, where I abide and dwell in the kingdom of God. Enjoy your books, and I'm going to enjoy my liberty and freedom in the kingdom of heaven now. So, Brother Rutledge, what do you believe about the kingdom of heaven? Well, let me see if I can figure it out. You got any commentaries I could read? No, I tell you what I believe. I believe we're in the kingdom of heaven now. Hallelujah. Jehovah's Witness says only 144,000 are going to go to heaven. There's more than that in the United Pentecostal Church, and they're in heaven now. Not talking about heaven out there someday. I'm talking about the oneness that comes to us when we speak in tongues, when we see healings and miracles, cast out devils. Hallelujah. People halfway listening to me right now are turning me off saying, hey, that man's a reprobate. He's not teaching it right. What are you basing that on? I'll tell you what you're basing it on. The people that are not teaching it right. Hallelujah. Jesus is teaching it right. Amen. Now, there's nothing wrong with having notes. But don't always depend on your notes. The best sermons are not always the sermons that go by the notes. Although the notes can help you prepare a sermon. But when we depend upon the script, even though it may have come from God, it's there maybe to remind your feeble mind of something you don't want to forget. But don't forget to let the Spirit of God have its way in your life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I just love to see a preacher with all these notes in front of him saying, oh, something's happening right now. Let me just put away my notes. I feel something in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And I love good Bible teaching with good planned notes, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we don't need to get stuck to that, to where we feel that's the only way we can do things. Amen. Can you just see Jesus out there? Lazarus is dead in the tomb. Where's the book on this? Can you bring me a scroll? Is there any history of this ever happening before? Now let's look through the books and see what we can find. No. He was the book of life that later would be written in a book. Lazarus, come forth. When Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he didn't even use a Bible. But what he preached made it into the Bible. You ever think about Acts 2:38, where did it come from? Peter didn't stand up when they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? He didn't say, well, let's look at Acts 2:38. There was no Acts 2:38. There was no book of Matthew, no book of Mark, Luke, John, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Romans, none of those books. They were doers. They had heard, I will not leave you comfortless. I will open your understanding. Go and teach and preach all people, all nations, telling them that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in my name, beginning at Jerusalem. And they didn't have any more sense than the sense that God gave them. Hallelujah! There wasn't a whole lot. There wasn't a whole lot to say. Praise God. The lesson of that day and the lesson of this day should still be the same. Apostolic ministry should still be: repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises to you and to your children and to all that are afar off, to as many as the Lord our God shall call. There was nobody standing behind Peter thumbing through the pages to find where he's reading. And Peter wasn't looking at a book, but he was in demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost, for the kingdom of heaven was at hand. Let's thank the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, the so-called Church of Christ say, we speak where the Bible speaks. And we're silent where the Bible is silent. Amen. And yet they don't baptize in Jesus' name, don't even claim you have to be baptized. They don't allow music in church, and yet they play their little tuning fork or harp, which is a musical instrument, by the way. Choir gets up to sing with no music to demonstrate. We are Church of Christ, and we do not sing with musical instruments because it's not in the New Testament church today. And then they go, "Shall we sing?" And they pick up an instrument and go, "Ding, Almighty Fortress is our God." Well, they just went against everything they said. That ting is a musical instrument. But yet they didn't go against anything they said because there is no musical instrument in the church at that place. Because that's not the church. Hallelujah. You judging, brother? No, no, no. The Word of God has it very clear what the church is. The church is filled with people who don't remain silent where the Bible's silent. Amen. We get through reading out of the Bible, we get loud. And we're liable to say most anything. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We start saying, "Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus." It would be out of order in the so-called Church of Christ. It's not out of order in this, and because we are written epistles of God. He has written in our hearts, in the kingdom of our dear Christ, things that don't require script. Hallelujah. Open your mouth and I'll fill it. I'll give you words to say. Hallelujah. 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 I got to quit. Let's all stand. I didn't get to my other two chapters. Yeah, maybe. Amen. So much. Amen. Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead." I was going to talk about that a while. But somebody wanted to follow him, but he said, "You know, I got to go bury my dad. Daddy, my daddy died." Now, if you want to follow him, follow him. Amen. Don't come up with any "but I got to do anything." And he let this enter into the scriptures, I'm sure, for one reason only. It's to show us all an extreme circumstance, to let us know there is nothing that can happen on this earth that should get in our way of going after him once we have decided to follow him. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus said, "Follow me." You say you want to follow me? Then follow me. Let the dead bury their dead. There's always going to be something to come up to hinder us. Amen. That old job, that overtime, all this stuff, my sickness. One lady came to our church years ago and she said, "I was so sick, I thought I was going to die. So I had to come to church, and that's why I'm here." I heard a lot of others say, "I was so sick, I thought I was going to die. That's why I'm not there." She said, "The reason I'm here is because I was sick." Amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord right now. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. By the way, that lady went home well that night. Glory! Hallelujah! 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, let your word heal us. Let your word heal us. Let your word help us. Let your word open our understanding. Let your word make us to know the word of God as it is and not as they are teaching it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There are two different types of people calling themselves apostolic today. Come on around the front as I say these words. We're going to praise God one more time. Amen. You know, the word's coming forth. I didn't say much in that, but what I said was enough to turn the world upside down. Certain people hear it because they're not going to like it. It goes against hundreds of years of literature. And yet there's some that don't even realize that because they don't even know what they believe in. You're the ones I'm reaching for. The others may not hear right now, but those that are looking and searching for answers. Hallelujah. Now, what was I about to say? Nobody listens, so you won't know the difference, right? What was I saying just before that? Two types of apostolics. All right, you were listening. There's the kind that tries to make apostolics out of people by showing and teaching how apostolics do, you know. Apostolics don't do certain things, and they do certain things. They go certain places, don't go other places. They wear certain things, don't wear certain things. They grow certain things, don't grow certain things, and so forth. Cut certain things, don't cut certain things. And there are some people who have left what they called the apostolic movement because they were tired of what they called legalism. And so they're out there today doing anything they want to do. You know, wear anything they want to wear, go anywhere they want to go, and yet calling themselves apostolic. They're around today. Then there's the other kind of apostolic. Amen. That did not get this that we do by being forced to do it. Hallelujah. We were led into it by love toward God and appreciation of His Word. And so there are some things that come from the heart of a sincere follower of God, certain changes that come about that no amount of compromise will cause us to see it any different. I will never change what God has done in my life. I may change my mind about what's been forced upon me by organized systems and what people think about it. But once God has shown me something, and once there's something in the Word of God that even points in that direction, I go that direction and God takes me the rest of the way. Amen. There's certain things that you need to look at in the Word of God, not just man's interpretation. And then it will cause you from the heart to change. Those apostolics do not sway with the wind. Hallelujah. And they don't throw in the towel when the rough peer pressures come. And all the big churches, all the flashy things, and all the people saying, see, we can do this and be apostolic too. It does not sway them or cause them any kind of change in what they know to be right. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Crowds come and crowds go, but the Word of God stays what it is. Thank you, Jesus. It stays what it is. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Once God puts something in our hearts, no man can take it away. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because we're dwelling in His kingdom now. And He is the King now. And He has placed things within His children now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's thank Him again. He's worthy to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, consecrate us. Help us, make us, mold us, shape us. Deliver us from evil. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So how do we react when somebody comes to visit us and teaches something out of the commentaries that they've learned and they really believe with all their heart? How do we react to that? We listen and we worship God. We don't throw stones. Everybody has the right to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. It's possible that a godly called man of God can have some knowledge in the book that we can glean from. They may be off here and there. God can straighten that out. Let's just stay straight with God. And let's just stay straight with God. Hallelujah. Amen. I can fellowship with a loving, caring brother or sister baptized in Jesus' name, Holy Ghost filled, no matter what they believe about rapture, end time prophecy, clothes, hair, anything else. Because the only message God left for those apostles to preach was a message of repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the Holy Ghost to the whole world. Those were the last words He spoke to them, the bottom line of it all, just before He ascended. Everything else that has been written since then by the apostles and delivered us in the New Testament was inspired of God for people after they have heard and done the repentance, baptism in Jesus' name and Holy Ghost. Amen. Hearing it and doing it. Go back to the basics, you believers, with your heart and confessors with your mouth. Go back to the basics. Go back to the Word of God. Go back to Acts before you think you can get saved in Romans. Go back to Acts. And then go to Romans and read about how to maintain your salvation. Let's thank the Lord one more time. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. God, we thank You for the Word of the Lord. God, we want to be hearers and doers of the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. God, we thank You, Lord, for removal of any fear to be doers of the Word, to experience by doing. Thank You, Lord, not just talking about it, studying about it, but experiencing it. Add to your faith. Experience. Praise God. Add. Oh, hallelujah. God, we thank You tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Mighty God. Mighty God. Amen. God bless you tonight. Hear the word of the Lord. Amen. Go home and look through these passages again to hear what God is saying right to you. And don't dismiss it as another night at church, because we'll do ourselves great harm by doing it. We'll mold ourselves into just another group calling ourselves apostolic. It's not the title. It's doing. Anybody could say they're apostolic, but if you're not following what Jesus taught those apostles, then you're not apostolic. We're apostolic by what we do, not what we say. Praise God. It's like we're Christians by what we do, not what we say. Amen. We become Christ-like because of obedience to the Word. And it's better in the 21st century to be called a Christian than it was in the first. Praise God. So things take on different meanings as centuries pass. Back then, that meant you were good for the arena and a lion to chew on you. Today, it means nothing. So, let's be what God has asked us to be. And as we've already heard concerning amending our ways and change, take a look again. And let's all look together as a group, growing unto God as a holy temple, about adding to our prayer life. Lord, we want to do. We want to experience. We don't want to just keep learning and getting fat and fat and fat. But take a look out the window and see what's happening in the field. And realize that on our plate is the answer that somebody else is looking for. All I got to do is just take my plate and share. Amen. Lord, hallelujah. Hard to know sometimes what to say after we've heard from God. We don't always know what to pray. We just know inside we need to do. Praise God. Do because You've given it to us to do with. Because we have so much. Oh Lord, teach us. Praise God. Teach us how to be doers of the Word. Hallelujah. As You've taught us so many wonderful things in this place down through the years. Yet God, I think it's time for us to take what we know and revamp ourselves into becoming doers and demonstrators for Your name's sake. Help us to be changed forever, God. And help us not, God, become, amen, another people that, Lord, have some things but don't have some things. Help us to be in balance.
with the way that you want us to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you tonight.